I'm reminded of a story that I heard. There were some members of a club, and the place was just getting all cluttered up and crummy and nasty. And somebody said, "We need to clean this place up." And then nobody did anything. So one guy said, "Well, how about everybody just clean up around your own desk and your own chair?" And they all did that, and the place got all cleaned up. So it took an individual action to get the thing started. So turn, burn, yearn, and burn. So I don't know what to do tonight. I'll just try to enlarge on point one. So I'd like you to take your Bibles and find Exodus chapter 2. We'll see if we can put this thing together a little bit, maybe. Exodus chapter 2. I want to visit with you for just a little bit tonight about the call of Moses to be the deliverer of Israel. Exodus 2, start with me at verse 11. Bible says, "It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, 'Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?' And he said, 'Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian?' Moses feared and said, 'Surely this thing is known.' Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. And Father, I pray that ere this night is over and we say goodbye, that you'll move us, each one of us, to do our part. I think if there's going to be revival, we can see the national mess, but I think we better clean up around our own selves. I think it needs to start in me. I pray you'd get us to that end tonight. In Jesus' name, amen." So here's this old guy. He's 80 years old. And he's a fugitive from Egypt. And he's living with his father-in-law, Jethro. And he's a shepherd. Chapter 3, verse 1. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law." You didn't close your Bibles, did you? I thought I heard my Bible open up. No. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." So he's out there on the backside of the wilderness, and God calls him to the ministry. He's a shepherd, and it just doesn't seem like it's a likely choice for the ministry. But God calls him. Chapter 3, verse 10. "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And you know the story. We're not going to go through all of that. He began to make excuses. "I'm just not worthy." Chapter 3, verse 11. Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? As a matter of fact, I don't even know your name. Verse 13. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say, What is name? What'll I say unto them? And he said, Besides that, nobody will believe me. Chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered and said, But behold, they'll not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they'll say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Besides that, I'm not eloquent. I'm not much of a speaker. Chapter 4, verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. How's about sending somebody else? Verse 13. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. But he finally goes, chapter 4, verse 18. Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and returned unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. So in the midst of all of this folderol and all of this rigmarole and all of this sidestepping and evasion and all of the sort of the things that he's trying to get out to do in this thing that God calls him to do, right in the midst of this mess, God asks Moses a question. Chapter 4, verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? That's our text. And that's for you today. That's for you tonight. What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. He had a dry, dead stick in his hand. That's what he saw. God saw something else. This rod was his shepherd's staff. 6 feet long, curved into a crook at one end of it. It was used to guide and to lead and to protect the sheep and to help the shepherd walk and to climb and defend the flock against wild animals and maybe against wild men. He depended on that rod. Now, when people saw him with that rod, they knew that he was a shepherd. That was his tool. That was his badge. That was his identifier. That was his uniform. You go out tomorrow into town and you see some guy drive up in a white van and he's got a white pair of pants on and a white shirt. You know that he's a painter. That's what paint, that was it. That's his uniform. You know that's what he does for a living. So they saw Moses with this rod and they knew that he was a shepherd. It was probably all he possessed. He didn't even own the sheep. That thing represented his life, his identity, and his livelihood. It showed that he was, had never become all that he could be. 40 years ago, you remember, he had tried to deliver Israel from Egypt. He had killed that Egyptian, you remember. We just reviewed a little tiny bit of that story. And he got away from God, got ahead of God, and he took matters into his own hands. And things didn't work out all that good, and he thought that he had failed and he was going to be in trouble. And failed God so miserably, he'd never use him again. He thought that all he could ever be was a shepherd in the backside of the desert. And that stick told him that every day, you're nothing but a hired hand taking care of another man's flock of sheep. And I think that we're kind of like Moses. I think that we, each one of us, is here tonight holding something in our hand. And some of the things that we hold are good, and some are not so good, and some are evil. I think some of us tonight are holding on to the past. I think we're holding on to people and memories and accomplishments and failures and hopes and some pet sin. Some of you came in here with that stuff. I think some of us are holding on to hard feelings over things that people have said or done to us. And I think there is a little bit of unforgiveness that perhaps lingers in our hearts. I think some of us maybe have a sense of no worth, no value. I'm just no good, and I'm probably never going to be any good. I think some people have talents, natural abilities, accomplishments, and I think that that just genders pride in our hearts. And all of those things, good or bad, they identify us, and I think to a large extent they control our lives. We come to depend on those things, and we kind of get to the point where we even think we can't live without them. They're a part of our lives. Just like a leopard leans on his staff, we lean on those things that we hold in our hands, like our past, our problems, our grudges, our abilities, or our talents. We live for those things, and we allow them to define our personality or to control our spiritual activity. We go to bed with them in nighttime, and we wake up with them in the morning. We look at some of the things that we hold in our hands, and we believe that those things are all that we will ever be or ever have or ever want to have. Now, I want you tonight to watch God use Moses in order to teach us that we can rise above those things that we hold in our hands. You remember all of his excuses and learn this. What we hold does not have to hold us. You do not have to be a prisoner of your past. You do not have to be a prisoner of your circumstances. You do not have to be a prisoner of the things that you think will keep you from being all that you want to be or that you would desire to be before God. When Moses heard the Lord's questions, it must have just stabbed him in your heart. What is that in thine hand? Well, it's a rod, was the answer. Moses, I bet you remembered the time not that long ago when he held a royal scepter in his hand. Surely I think his mind went back to those days in the palace of Egypt when he was being trained and educated to rule, to be a pharaoh. The Egyptians were the mightiest nation on this earth. And he might have remembered the time when he held the world in his hand. Now he ain't got nothing but a dry, dead stick. You might have brought something in here tonight that you think has just ruined you for good. Now, God knew what Moses had in his hand. God wasn't asking for information. He knows all about you. He knows everything about you from the very first day of your life right up to the present time. God was asking Moses to take stock. God was asking Moses to consider, to take a good, long, serious look. To consider and to understand that the thing that he was holding in his hand was either holding him up from progress or it was holding him down, but it wasn't tugging him forward. That rod identified Moses, and it also represented all of the problems of his life. It reminded him every single day that he, once upon a time, he used to be a prince. It reminded him that now he's nothing but a servant. That rod reminded him that he was poor and that he owned nothing. That rod reminded Moses that once upon a time his life had been filled with huge potential, but now he just a has-been. He just a washed-up nobody on the backside of the desert. Now, beloved, all of those things that I mentioned a moment ago, they've got the ability to define us. Our sins, our past, our hurts, our negative feelings that are toward other people, jealousies and angers and failures and pride, they all impact who we are and how we relate to those around us. They even determine, I submit to you tonight, how we serve the Lord. If I allow the negative aspects of my life to control me, then I will stand in the way of the Lord and of His will being done in my life. Even the positive aspects of my life, like my talents, my gifts, my abilities, they can become liabilities when I depend on them rather than on the Lord. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, our deeds are to be under the control and the direction of nobody but the Lord. What do you have in your hand? What are you holding on to today? Is there an attitude? Is there an activity? Is there a memory? Is there some past event, some action that defines your life that says what you are and what you have become? And it mocks you and calls you a nobody and tells you you'll never amount to anything in your life. The only thing that ought to define a child of God is Christ-likeness. Paul could say, for me to live is Christ. If you stood up tonight and said those words, would they be true? Would they be true? What do you live for? What do you live for? Whatever it is, I submit to you tonight that it reveals your personality. Whatever it is, it controls your life. What's in your hand today? What's in your hand right now? You know, some people won't come to church. Some will come, but they won't even open their hearts to sing or to pray or to worship the Lord because they're filled with bitterness over something that somebody said or did to them. Some people won't serve the Lord because everything in the church didn't go just their way. Some people are hindered by their sins and others by their air of self-righteousness. Others, I think, just because they did their best and didn't get any recognition. They didn't get just what they deserved. And so they're filled with pride over their abilities and accomplishments. And they don't realize even that the very gifts and abilities that they have become liabilities and their downfall and have led to resentment in their hearts. What is that in your hand tonight? Moses held his potential in his hand. Chapter 4, if you will, verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. When Moses objects to God's call on his life, God uses a series of miracles to teach Moses the truth that he will go with him into Egypt and that God will work through him. First, that rod became a serpent, and then it became a rod again. Secondly, if you remember, if we read on down the passage, Moses' hand became leprous and then clear again. Verse 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they'll not hearken thee, believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. 30 tells him that he's going to be able to turn water into blood. Verse 9. And it shall come to pass, if they'll not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto the voice that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Now, all of those miracles are designed to confront Moses in his own very heart and to teach Israel that Moses is indeed the man that God has sent them to lead them out of the land. God tells him to take his rod and cast it down onto the ground. And when it does, it turns into a serpent. Moses picked up his feet and he ran away from the serpent. That was probably not a snake that Moses was used to seeing out there in the desert. It might have been a cobra. You remember that the Egyptians worshipped the cobra. In fact, if you see the pictures of Pharaoh, he had a golden cobra around his neck. And so seeing Moses take that stick and turn it into a snake, it would teach both the Egyptians and the Israelites that the God who'd sent Moses was more powerful than any and all of the Egyptian gods. To Moses, that rod was just a tool. Maybe it was a weapon, necessary part of his life, and in his hand it helped to support him over the rugged terrain. It helped protect the flock and himself. It helped him in many ways, but as far as he was actually concerned, it was just a dead, dry stick. But now watch. When he gave that thing to the Lord, it became a living thing. It became a thing of power that God used to defeat Israel's enemies and to bring glory to himself. God used an insignificant stick to work wonders. It confronted the Egyptian magicians. It turned the water of Egypt into blood. It brought forth a plague of frogs. It brought forth a plague of lice. It brought forth thunder and hail that came out of the skies. It brought a plague of locusts that blanketed and covered all of the skies. It was used to part the Red Sea. You remember all of those things? It was used to bring the water back together. It was used to bring water out of the rock. It was used to bring victory over the Amalekites. You might not think that you're here tonight and you've got very much to offer, just a dead stick. But see the potential I want you to see, beloved, tonight when it's yielded to God for him to use. Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. That seems a strange. I wouldn't want to pick up a snake by its tail if that sucker was poisonous. But God said, lean over there and pick that thing up by the tail. Well, Moses was to learn that God would take care of him even in dangerous situations. And when he did what God told him to do, when he picked that thing up, it became a dead stick again. I bet he never looked at that rod in the same way ever again in his life. God took that stick, that dead, powerless, dead, dry stick, and he used it in a mighty way simply because Moses yielded to God for him to use. If it had stayed in Moses' hand, beloved, it had done the same old thing that it had always done. It would have had the same power over his life that it always had. But none for the Lord. But see, he gave what he had to God. And he was free from its power over himself and became mighty for God's glory. Kept for myself, I can't do much. But if I will yield myself to God, he can work mighty, mighty things through a surrendered heart. I don't know what you hold in your hand tonight, but I do know this. I do know this. If it's not yielded to the Lord, it's a hindrance to your life. It's a liability. It holds you back from being everything that you could be for the Lord. Not only does it hold you back, but it affects those around you. Your family, your friends, your church. Everything in life that you will touch and all that touches you. Brother talked about in his first point, we need to turn. If there's going to be a national revival, if there's going to be a national turning, that's going to have to start in each and every individual heart. Not as a group, but an individual heart. And the sin that you won't quit is a dead stick in your hand. But when you give it to God in confession and repentance, it becomes an opportunity for Him to display His grace, His forgiveness and restoration, and put you right back in the race. The guilt will be gone and the heart will be glad and free, and you'll be able to witness and be a testimony for Christ again. And the resentment that you brought in here tonight over some past wrong that you've suffered is a dead stick in your hand. But if you'll bring that thing to God, He'll deliver you from the bondage you're in, and He'll restore you to a place of blessing. Rather than it being an effect to others, they'll don't even want, rather than you being an effect to other people, they don't even want to be around you because of your bad spirits. That negative woe in me spirit that you possess causes you to look around for the bad in everybody else, and everything else is nothing but a dead stick in your hand. But if you bring it to the Lord, He's able to give you perspective on things and bring you out of that bondage and teach you how to make lemonade out of the lemons that you think are there things in your life. And the sorrows and the pains that you've allowed to shape your life and to steal your joy, it's a dead stick in your hand. And you're held prisoner to a moment of time that happened either 6 months ago or 6 years ago or 15 years ago. And that thing is still holding you back and crippling your spiritual life. It's stealing your joy and it's a dead stick in your hand. Bring it to the Lord, and He'll show you that He's got a purpose and a ministry for you, even in your pain. We heard about that this morning. Brother Paisley told us that even out of that racking pain of bereavement that he lost his dearly beloved wife, God has allowed him to expand and to have a ministry that he never would have dreamed possible, except that God had brought him through that valley. God will teach you the truth of Romans 8:28 out of your own personal experience. And you'll be brought to the knowledge and the understanding that you can be a blessing of others from your own personal experience. That gift, that ability, that talent that God has given to you that you're so proud of, that can be a dead stick in your hand. But when that talent is surrendered to the Lord, it'll become a channel of blessing through which He's able to use your life in greater ways of blessing to others, to yourself, and to get glory to the Savior. Those accomplishments in your life that you look back at and speak about, they're just a dead stick in your hand. But if you'll yield them to the Lord, He'll show you that He's got even greater things for you yet in your future. Beloved, what I'm trying to say tonight and point out to you tonight is that everything we hold in our hands is either a blessing or a burden, depending on what we do with it. If we hold on to it, it's a problem. You know what I'm talking about. You got stuff. When we surrender it to the Lord, He's able to release His potential for a blessing in our lives. Everything that I hold in my hands can hinder my life, my walk, my fellowship with the Lord, my family, my church, if those things are not yielded to the control of God. I think sometimes men wonder why things are not working in the church. No lives changed, people helped, souls saved. Well, it could very well be that there are some people in here tonight that are just like Moses holding on to a dead stick that they need to give to the Lord. I don't know. There might be some people here like Achan. Maybe there's a hidden secret sin buried deep that needs to be brought out and dealt with. Just you and the Lord doing some serious business. Making things right that are wrong. Don't raise your hand. Wouldn't you like to just be free of that thing? You can be. Moses climbed that mountain that day with a dead stick. He'd been carrying that thing around with him for 40 long years. And in all that time, he'd used the stick, but the stick had also used Moses. The stick identified him. The stick controlled him. That stick told him all you will ever be, all you ever will be is a shepherd keeping another man's sheep. See, that stick was a problem for Moses, and he didn't even realize it. He believed that it was an indispensable part of his life and his work. Moses never knew until he yielded that stick to God that the stick he held in his hand was the key to God's power in his life. I think you probably already are figuring out where I'm going and what I'm doing. Just let that thing go and see what God can do with you, for you, in you, and because of you to other people. Moses yielded that stick that he carried that day to the Lord, and when he did, he was released from its power. When he did, it no longer defined him. When he did it, he became the power of God in his life. We were told this very morning in pastor's school in the morning session that if you don't have a shiny hammer to drive a nail, take off your shoe and hit it with the heel. Give God what you've got and let him use who you are and what you are with the talent and the gift and the ability that is yours. And don't let that thing that you already know God the Holy Spirit's touching in your heart to let you keep hindered away from serving the Lord. Beloved, what is that in thine hand? What do you carry in here tonight? What defines you? What are you holding on to that holds you back and keeps you from being everything that God intended for you to be and to save your soul to be? I think it's time tonight to take a stand for the things of God and for God. Is there a sin that needs to be laid down? Is there an event in your past, some hurt, some sorrow, some bitterness that hinders you tonight? Is there some area in your life where you feel you've just not arrived? Is there some talent or ability you've got that has filled you with pride? Is there something in your life that's holding you back? Is there something in you that holds your family, holds this church back? Look at your life tonight and see what you hold. You might hold it in your hand, but I tell you tonight, it dominates and controls your life. Tonight is your opportunity to be free. Free from its pull. Free from its influence. Beloved, throw that thing down and let God have it. When you hold it, if you go out of here tonight with it, it's just a liability. If you'll give it to him, it'll become a spiritual asset. Life's either a dead stick or a powerful savior. Which is true in your life and in my life will be determined by how much of ourselves, our time, our energy, our finances, our testimonies and prayer are we willing to place in his hands. He'd ask you tonight, I'd ask you tonight in his stead to bring what you brought in here tonight in your hands and cast it down before him. Let him take that liability and turn it into an asset for his glory. Open yourself and open your heart to the Lord. Consider maybe these things that we've discussed. Hold it up before him. And the one that he touches that makes you flinch, that's the one that he wants you to give to him tonight. And you'll find out that if you lay it down and allow him to deal with it, he'll bring you victory. He'll bring you blessing. Brother Gip reminded us about the man who was perfect and upright and righteous. None of us can say that of ourselves tonight. Would you all stand?